Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Astros lost 2 or 3 over the weekend, and they did so in embarrassing fashion. You'd think that would be the most discussed thing in Houston sports over the weekend. But it was not. Hell, the Texans' convincing preseason win over the Panthers was also not the most discussed thing in Houston sports. We were focusing on something that happened before the game and something that happened after the game. And in the eyes of some, this was a betrayal on the same level as the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones. Just an all-timer. Benedict Arnold ain't got bleep on this, because the starting quarterback for your hometown team, who I know you all love more than anything, CJ Stroud, came into the Houston Texans game wearing a variety of different things. Because you see, you can't walk in public in the nude. You can't do that. It's illegal. CJ Stroud wore a pair of shoes that were black with white shoelaces. CJ Stroud wore a pair of quarter socks. They were white. They went all the way up to the halfway point of his calves. CJ Stroud was also wearing something else. Shorts. Above those shorts, he had some sort of white t-shirt on. And can you believe this? A jacket! It's 100 degrees outside! CJ, unbelievable! What are you thinking, man? We don't want you suffering a heat stroke as you're walking into NRG Stadium!
A crazy thing to be wearing.
Unbelievable!
I can't, I'd like... This guy's decision-making, I call into question.
People were really mad about him wearing a Seattle Mariners hat as he walked into the stadium.
Top two most egregious thing about that outfit.
The jacket is actually more concerning.
The jacket's crazy.
It's more concerning. He wore a jacket. It's been hot this last couple of days here at H-Town.
I know that he walks from like a bus or a car to the tunnel. Even in that walk, it is too hot to be wearing a jacket in August.
It does get cold in NRG Stadium. Sometimes it gets cold here in our Gow Media Studios. But the jacket is more questionable, in my opinion, than the hat. Okay? But I love that everyone was getting worked up about this. Again, we just need something to care about. So some people saw this and essentially acted like CJ Stroud is supposed to know what's happening in baseball. Hand up. I do not want CJ Stroud to know an effing thing about baseball. I want CJ Stroud to be the nerdiest of nerds when it comes to sports. I only want him paying attention to football. Specifically, NFL football. I don't even want him watching Ohio State. I don't want him allowed to watch that Ohio State-Texas game. I want him focused on the Rams, even if that's over a week ahead of the game. I don't want him to have any interests outside of football. That's a selfish thing to ask for. So he comes into the ballpark wearing a Mariners hat. And after the game, he's still wearing that Mariners hat. Someone asked him about it at the press conference. Here's what C.J. Stroud had to say about something that many in Houston consider an act of betrayal.
Can you tell me about your decision to wear that?
Yeah, I mean, I love hats. Like, I wear hats all the time. I probably have every team, but I support, you know, the Astros and the Dodgers because I'm from L.A. and love, you know, it's kind of contradicting, but I still love the Astros, but it's all good. I understand, but it's all about the swag, baby. I'm just kidding.
He's goofing around here. And you know what I like the most? He doesn't care because he shouldn't. He shouldn't. He shouldn't spend a second thinking about how people are reacting to this. I saw a lot of op-eds online about what's really going on here. I've noticed there is definitely a cultural divide. I think that generally, speaking for myself, growing up, you wore the hat that represents where you're from. But for others, it's, I'm going to wear a hat that I look good in. That's the priority to Stroud. Now, I will say, I don't think the hat like completed the look. Sorry to be a little bit of a second guesser here, but that hat, it did not match his jacket, and it did not match his shorts. And I don't know what you're thinking, honey, wearing these socks that are halfway up your ankles with black shoes. I mean, you look slow, honey. Come on, what are we doing here? Do we need to get the queer eye for the straight guy guys out there? Huh? I don't think it was that swaggy. I know there are some who are like, well, it might be because it would have been Nipsey Hussle's birthday and Nipsey Hussle wore a Mariners hat once, but apparently he's worn a lot of different hats. Some of you guys need a life. Some of you guys need a life. I think it's hilarious that people are getting worked up about this, but everyone who engaged in this on a serious level, you need a life. You need a life. You need to get laid. You need to have a drink. You need to smoke some reefer. You got to do something. You got to do something here if this was actually occupying your time. If you're a troll, if you're a bleep starter like me and you want to throw some gasoline on the fire, that's cool. That's cool. I like that. That's fun. That's fun to me. I like sowing a little chaos out there. But as someone who, in the course of the last year, has worn, one, many Astros things, two, if I'm out of clothes, I have a Mariners shirt. Three, a half Astros, half Mariners shirt. Four, a Red Sox shirt. It's a Pedro Martinez shirt. We're really getting mad about this? We're really getting mad about this? His explanation, not great. You can't be an Astros and Dodgers fan. I'm sorry. No, you can't. That actually does not work, you know? But probably doesn't care that much about baseball, to be perfectly honest.
No, he's from L.A. He could have just said, I'm from L.A. I don't care.
You know what? Honestly, that would have worked the best because you know what? People in L.A. don't care that much about sports. They don't.
I definitely don't care about your sports.
Yes.
But I get why you can't get up there and be like, asking all these people that are Texans and Astros fans and being like, listen, guys, I just don't care about the Astros. I'm sorry.
Listen, he should wear a Dodgers hat. He should.
That's where...
He should wear a Dodgers hat.
He would have gotten less flack, I think, if he would have worn a Dodgers hat.
There wasn't that much
swag.
People would
be like, he's from L.A.
Exactly. He's saying he has swag. Sorry, CJ, I respectfully disagree. As the most Metro person in sports radio, I disagree. I didn't see a lot of swag there. Like, my shorts match my hat right now. Like, nothing, there's no matching going on here. You like the hat. You like the hat. Maybe it's in reference to Nipsey Hussle, who's dead or something. I don't know anything about Nipsey Hussle. I don't want to know. Everyone's like, you did something for the community. I've never heard of any of his songs, okay? That's not saying much, given how musically stupid I am. But anyway, there's not a lot of swag there, and you shouldn't have said you're an Astros and Dodgers fan. That's going to piss off a lot of people. And it would be cool if there were more guys like Jalen Hurts, who in the middle of the Astros and Phillies World Series, Jalen Hurts is wearing an Astros hat out there. It would be cool if there was more of that, you know, in 2025. It would be cool.
Which, by the way, pissed off Philadelphia fans.
Yeah, it did. It pissed them off.
like that's the thing. This isn't just a Nationals thing. Like,
it's everywhere. Right.
Like, Paul, you know, who is the starting quarterback?
If Tom Brady wore a Yankees hat, I would have been mad. Sure.
But
if Tom Brady wore a Colts hat, I would have also been really mad. But this is neither of those things, really.
If this is funny because it's Sam Darnold. If Sam Darnold came walking in with an Astros cap into a Seahawks preseason game, would Seattle fans be like, oh, all right.
No, just they would freak out.
Just wears hats.
They would 100%
freak out. Geno Smith, the same thing.
Like, yeah.
It's just a thing that people do. Like, it's just like a what? Especially, like, I think there's really, like, three hats he could not have gotten away with wearing, and he unfortunately picked one of them.
He picked one of them, and then he talked about how he's a fan of one of the other ones. And you know what? Good. He didn't backtrack at all. He's like, yeah, whatever, man. I like that part about him. He stood firmly in the pocket. He's like, basically, he doesn't care, and he shouldn't care because this is really dumb.
And
but it's dumb.
I'm glad, because this would have also been an annoying conversation, that he didn't get into the, like, well, it's for Nipsey Hussle. Now, let me explain to you about hat culture in L.A. neighborhoods. See, the S stands for, and it's blue for Crip, and, like, I'm glad he just didn't get into all
that. That would have been funny if he did.
It's a good lie. You're going to lie. Hey, it's for swag, all right? Swag reasons only. Keep it moving, people.
Because it probably was for Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's like the easiest way to explain it.
He said it wasn't, but no, I mean, this is the politician answer. I like everything. Yeah. But you know what I want him to not like?
You like America.
I want him to spend not a second of his life watching baseball. Not a second. Not a second. And if honestly, you know what the good sign is? The fact that he's an Astros and a Dodgers fan and that he could wear a Mariners hat. Like,
yeah.
Clearly he doesn't care.
Love Steph Curry.
Yes. He doesn't care. Good.
Lakers
good.
Fan, probably.
No, this is good. He doesn't care about baseball. Good. I focus on baseball, on football. You can, I'll let you have basketball, but I don't even want you watching Ohio State. I don't want your blood pressure raising while watching an Ohio State game. Just like I don't want you wearing a effing jacket into the stadium when it's 100,000 degrees outside, which he did. Like, that's more concerning than the hat. People, okay.
What it feels like, you know, Cal Raleigh's really had a great year this year. I really wanted to support what Cal Raleigh's been doing. Eugenio Suarez been a mixed bag since the deadline, but
it would be funny if he did
like he just goes into a long.
Yeah,
I really like Brian Wu.
Yeah,
Logan Gilbert. What an arm!
if he knew any of their names, I would be mad.
Like the classic, like, you ask Bill Belichick about, like, the long snapper, and he goes on for 5 minutes,
yeah.
But you ask him about, like, the biggest story about his team, and we're on to Cincinnati. If C.J. Stroud gave, like, a 3.5-minute answer about the Seattle Mariners, that would have actually been worse.
Yeah.
That would have been the worst possible thing he could
have done. For sure. If he had mentioned one Mariner player there.
Shout out to Victor Robles, you know?
God. I don't even know who that is, so, like, hell.
He got no fight in a rehab start.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll just send you the link.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Astros should get that guy.
I like him.
Anyway, Ryan Lost in Texas asks, what if CJ walked into the stadium wearing one of those German World War I Army helmets with the spike on the top? That would be kind of wild. Well, World War I is in bounds. That is swag. That is swag. Those helmets were sick. They were sick.
Careful.
That is swag.
Be very clear about
the Nazi ones.
That's bad.
That's bad. Right. You know,
World War One though.
You can't come in to the stadium wearing a Genghis Khan helmet because even though he decreased the temperature of the world with all the killing he did, that's not swag-tastic. Okay,
I don't know, the hats look pretty cool. The hats are cool.
East Asian armor and like the you know, samurai stuff.
But the guys were wearing in Mulan. I don't know if that's historically accurate.
Yeah, I think that would be true. Anyway, we're having some fun here. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Wears a full samurai suit?
Yeah.
No, they did do some unconventional things.
They killed some European people based off of the TV show Samurai by boiling them in a pot. Which was kind of messed up.
Yeah, the Portuguese aren't going to like that one. The Portuguese Astros fans aren't going to like
from
that.
From the 281, what if Bregman wore a Nazi hat? Stop. Jeez, that's,
oh my God.
That is super messed up. We're having maybe a little bit too much fun.
No. Yeah, I think that we crossed the line.
Listen,
there.
we This is the stupid conversation that this segment deserved, okay? Because it's stupid. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 975. Astros lost 2 of 3 to the Orioles over the weekend, but there might have been something more concerning that's taking place at Daikin Park, and it has nothing to do with the Astros. What is it? Well, I think you know what I'm about to talk about. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Sorry, guys, I'm about to say something that I know many of you will call me a hypocrite and borderline terrorist for saying, but Houston, we have a problem. We have a problem at Daikin Park. Not talking about the embarrassment the Astros subjected us to Friday, getting almost perfect gamed by some dude with a 6.5 ERA, losing 12-0 yesterday in a game that easily could have been 19-0. Not talking about either of those things. I'm talking about something that you have been aware of if you've been listening to my show for quite some time. If you go to Daikin Park, there are two El Tiempo locations. One is on the third baseline. The other is in center field by the Hornitos Bar. And I had a clip last week that went viral highlighting that people are getting tanked drinking El Tiempo margaritas at the ballpark. Well, now I'm getting a little bit concerned that someone might put two and two together and link behavior that would be frowned upon and the consumption of this delicious drink, which I believe you can get all the way into the ninth inning, which, whoa, it's only one drink per trip in line per ID. If you're there with somebody else, you could theoretically get two, but they just need to present a valid ID. But now all of a sudden you're starting to see some weird stuff. For example, yesterday, an Astros fan decided, screw it, I'm going to run onto the field. This man ran through the infield. He ran past Jose Altuve, ran back towards Jose Altuve, and then went out into, I would say, left center field before getting absolutely bundled by a security guard. Unfortunately, another security guard tripped while trying to tackle him, and our thoughts and prayers are with him for that moment of embarrassment for he and his family and the security guard ballpark profession, you know? This is not pulling out your belt and whipping a dude like that one guy at a Pirates game. No, this is a little bit different. But some believe that this man may have gone onto the field because he'd had a few too many El Tiempo margaritas. There's no proof to back this up. It's not like he ran onto the field with a cup of a half full frozen or something like that. No, people are just now tying weird stuff that they see at Astros games to the El Tiempo margaritas. And I don't know, but we might have some sort of mini prohibition attempt on our hands in the near future from some teetotalers.
This feels like a smear campaign.
I agree.
This feels like a targeted attack. Maybe bots. I don't know. Maybe the monkeys from Superman.
Okay.
I don't know. But there is a lot of things going on at Daikin Park. Or every time a bad thing happens at Daikin Park.
He's like, oh, it's the El Tiempo margaritas.
Yeah. What the hell? What the hell are we doing? This is what I was talking about, where like people are just throw El Tiempo margaritas around every time on social media. Just get a couple likes and a couple retweets. It's like, guys, you're going to make them take it away from us if we keep saying all this fun stuff that happens. It's because of the El Tiempo margs.
People keep on telling me I need to take this post down now as a result of bad behavior that is not at all linked to El Tiempo Margarita, provably, in a court of law.
Yeah.
And I don't know who we're going to have to get in our corner to defend this great corporation that has made baseball games actually enjoyable because you can be sauced. I mean, you can consume the delicious goodness of an El Tiempo Margarita, but we might need to get the Texas Hammer. We might need to get Tony Busby. I feel like people are going after El Tiempo's good name. We're going to be out doing a show on Friday, by the way, at the El Tiempo in Washington as part of our summer circuit, which I'm very excited about.
Over under 2.5 margaritas for Paul.
I might be asleep very shortly after the show is done.
This is a big one where
I might have to get a pitcher.
The unofficial rule of Paul doesn't have his first alcoholic beverage on a remote until 2.
Yeah.
This is where it gets put to the test.
This is definitely going to get put to the test. Well, they're going to offer it to me because I'm that guy. I'm the Astros El Tiempo Margarita guy.
Yeah. Are you going to wear the hat?
Yes, oh, for sure. Okay. And I'm going to wear my Margarita Hawaiian shirt, which matches the hat.
You really need to talk to someone about, hey, I can do some reads for you. I basically already do.
Yes, I have to talk to someone.
I'll get the price right when I do the reads. Until then, they're $300.
Yeah, I mean, if only I was more available to, I don't know, like help close the deal for a deal that should have happened 2 years ago. If only, you know, I just don't have the time to go and do this. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm gonna stop being a little bit bitter about the fact that this is the show that, I don't know, maybe it doesn't get the same focus as some of the other ones as far as selling things. When I'm the sexiest person here, I'm the sexiest person at the station. Like, let's get that clear. And I think as a result of that, I should be doing more endorsements. But anyway, that's fine. Sex does sell, but hey, okay, fine, whatever. Speaking of sex, there's another thing that's being linked to El Tiempo Margarita consumption. So, this is a very wild video, and I saw it on TikTok. But it's actually a video, and it's not some, like, a-hole influencer that's spreading misinformation. There are two men with their significant others. Each is sitting to the outside of their significant others. So basically there's boy, girl, girl, boy. And they're getting very, very cozy. They got their arms around their lady. They're making out. You know, love is in the air. But some people believe that something else that was going down might be a result of the El Tiempo Margaritas. These two men, not that there's anything wrong with this, were playing handsy with each other as they were making out with girls. You kind of have to see this to believe it. I don't really know how to repost a TikTok, but this is weird, right? Is it? I'm asking for the guys out there. Is it weird to semi-erotically play fingersies with your guy friend as you're making out with a girl? Again, to each their own, but, and I don't know, maybe they think they're touching their significant other's hands, but like these guys are making out with their seemingly girlfriends who are seated in between them. And as they are making out with their girlfriends, they have like these sneaky hands behind the seat and they're like, it's like footsie, you know, the kind of stuff that would happen under the table. It's very sneaky. And I'm wondering what's going on here. And people are blaming the El Tiempo Margaritas for making people into sexual freaks. Like it's a 1970s Led Zeppelin concert.
Yeah, I don't. Listen, there's nothing wrong with this, I'll say.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
But I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, and again, this is what I'm talking about. Where something happens at an Astros game. It's like, oh, it's the fault of the...
They blame the El Tiempo Margaritas. And I saw someone blame the El Tiempo Margaritas here, and then they tagged me.
It's just a thing that happened at Dykin Park.
Not everything is the El Tiempo Margaritas' fault, you know? The Astros nearly getting perfect gamed on Friday. The Astros were not hammered on El Tiempo Margaritas. Would have been hilarious if they played a game like that. The Astros lost 12-0 yesterday. Could have been 19-0 yesterday. Jesus Sanchez definitely didn't consume any El Tiempo margaritas, given the two home run robberies he had. But people are also making accusations that the Astros are drunk off of El Tiempo margaritas, and I think that's irresponsible. I think it's very irresponsible. Stop blaming all the problems at Daikin Park on El Tiempo. The air conditioning's not working. Oh, the guy who runs the air conditioning must be hammered off an El Tiempo margarita. Oh, the traffic law, the parking lot attendant randomly snapped on somebody who just was asking, hey, where can I park? Because I can't get in. Oh, he's hammered on an El Tiempo margarita. Like, it's enough is enough.
That guy might have been.
Yeah. He made me want to get one immediately before the game even began. Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 832, you're the sexiest person at the station. Talk about a low bar. It is a low bar. It's definitely.
It's one of those things you can just say and just be like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. From the 281, were they playing thumb war? I mean, that's the only defense that they would have in court, but I didn't see a lot of thumbs. It was like, it was index and middle finger.
Yeah,
like,
it was just so.
Clasping each other. I mean, it was a lot like...
Live your life, guys. Live your life.
Have you seen this? I agree. Live your life. Do you? But I just don't like... Like now all this weird behavior that's going on, it's putting El Tiempo in jeopardy.
It's a psyop.
Yes.
It's 100%
a psyop. They're trying to stop us from drinking our El Tiempo margaritas.
Is it the Russians? Who knows?
Definitely the Russians. It's definitely the Russians. You know?
If it was vodka, they had no problem with it.
From the 281, having a foursome after the game, no big. Okay, but I don't know. That's
at least someone's scoring. Am I right?
It looks like in the movie Tropic Thunder, where there's that trailer for the movie featuring Robert Downey Jr. and Tobey Maguire. That's what it looks like as they're making out with two women. Again, it's August. It's August. We need to get the football season. Anyway,
I'd pay to watch that fake movie, by the way.
I would too. I don't know, actually. I you know what? A lot of people think I lean one certain way. That's too much for me. The girlfriend and I were watching a scene in the TV show Dave. We've really gotten into Dave on Hulu, and there's a scene where he's about to do something, and we're like, oh, yeah, we got the heebie-jeebies from it. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975 for the 346. This is what the Astros have done to us. That's true. By losing 2-3 to the Orioles over the weekend after three series victories in a row. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. We are 17 days away from the start of the NFL season. Oh, no. That means we have to play that clip. Ugh. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
17 days away from the kickoff of the National Football League season. Who's the best number 17 in NFL history? It's a good question. One of those numbers that really doesn't have that many big names, considering we're talking about a number that's under 20. Per the website we generally go to check out who was the best at the respective number, Pigskin Dispatch. Harold Carmichael, a tight end and receiver for the Eagles in the 70s and early 80s, is number one. There's also Glenn Turk Edwards, who was an early two-way tackle for the Boston and later Washington Redskins. Did you know that?
No.
Redskins started in Boston?
Surprising.
Honestly, the most on-brand thing.
I mean, Philip Rivers and Devontae Adams.
Yep, I would agree with you.
Two more recent ones.
That's definitely more recent. Rivers. Rivers or Adams? Rivers or Adams?
I think Rivers just slightly.
I think Rivers was the best quarterback from that draft class that also featured Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger.
I think Roethlisberger would have been 2 and Manning 3. Rivers, I think, just was a victim of being on the Chargers.
Yeah. Archie Manning was right, as it turns out. He was right.
He was.
To not have his son play for the Chargers.
He totally was.
If only Phil Rivers' dad played in the NFL.
Best number 17 in NFL history? Okay. We'll give it to Philip Rivers. Harold Carmichael, shout out to you. Devontae Adams. A couple more years left in the tank before we determine where he stands amongst the great 17s. How about Houston Texans history? Well, just walked into this one.
Do you feel there's been a consistent theme with the interceptions that you've thrown this year?
No, I don't. I think every interception really has a different story.
The further and further I get away from that quote, the more and more I wish Brock Osweiler the best in his broadcasting career. No, I'm actually growing as a person, Sean. I think he's actually pretty good as a color analyst on TV. I think he's actually done a pretty good job, considering when you used to hear him speak at a press conference, it was just a bunch of cliches that I think he had picked up in a book that he read about leadership. I'll give him credit for picking up a book that he read about leadership. It always just felt really hollow with him. And he was just a really frustrating player to watch. Bad interceptions, lots of checkdowns. He was more mobile than he ever actually let on because he didn't run that much. He was a guy that the Texans shouldn't have signed. I felt that way when they signed him because I remember that game that he got the most credit for the year before. It was a Patriots-Broncos game in Monday Night Football, where the weather went to bleep at the end of the game, and then the Broncos just had a bunch of huge touchdown runs. Everyone credited Brock Osweiler as having beaten the Patriots in Monday Night Football, and if you had watched the game, you'd have been like, no, this game just got weird, and Osweiler really didn't do much. And by the way, he had been benched for nearly headless Peyton Manning in the playoffs, who barely got the Broncos to the finish line. Their defense was just so damn good. That's how they won the Super Bowl that year. So honestly, it's not on Brock as much as it's on Rick Smith, Bill O'Brien, agreeing to sign off on this and say, F it. Let's see what happens.
Because wasn't the story that Bill O'Brien never met with Brock Osweiler? But, like, they got the deal done that fast?
And a lot of people were explaining that away, saying, well, due to the collective bargaining agreement, that's the way it has to go. And that is true. It would have technically been tampering at that moment in time.
Really? I didn't know that. I thought once you become a free agent, you can.
I think it would have been before the
free agency actually started.
Well, because the tampering window is a semi-recent development, and before the tampering window was official, I think that really was, you were kind of operating in the dark, which is why they added the tampering window so you could talk to these players and theoretically meet them, but. Now I think people just do it.
The tampering window's so stupid.
I agree.
Just tell me when free agency starts. That's it. I think he, everyone knows the deal with Brock Osweiler. Not that good of a quarterback. You hit it. Like, he was, fine as the Broncos starter. This was in my era, basically after Matt Schaub got hurt. In 2013, every draft, I was like, just draft a quarterback. Take a shot on a guy. Because even going hey, it's probably going to be 50-50 whether this guy is a starter or not. We're doing Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brian Hoyer and Brock Osweiler every year. Just take a shot on someone that's high upside. None of these guys were high upside. So, yeah, I think Osweiler just kind of gets lumped, in my mind, just gets lumped in with all those other guys that also, by the way, half of them won the division.
Yeah.
It's still.
Yes.
Tied for the best season in Houston Texans history. Brock Osweiler. It was C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. By the way, this website, we might need to stop using it because Josh Allen's number 17. How do you not have Josh Allen on that? Also, number 17, Plaxico Burress. I think he had a little time as 17. Doug Williams. Only number 17 to win a Super Bowl from the 8-3-2 with 87, the skins back then. Yeah, this website, sorry, Pigskin Dispatch, yeah, you got to update your best numbers ever. Because, yeah, Josh Allen just won an MVP. What are we doing here? Yeah, that's my fault. I should have done a little more research. I've sometimes just been relying on the website.
That's
my fault.
When it's the over 40s, when you're you know, 40 plus days away. I think it's good. But yeah, as we get more recent, it definitely hasn't been updated in a while.
Actual NFL news today. Sean McVay back at practice. Excuse me, Matt Stafford back at practice for Sean McVay's LA Rams. So that's his first practice in training camp. Wow. Today. Wow.
What, 17 days before? Mm-hmm. I guess, what, 20 days before he has to start against the Texans?
Full participant in an hour-long practice. He has been doing some weird stuff to get right. There's like this glass table that the Rams have that's kind of quack science given vibes like that apparently he is using to, I guess, make himself feel the best he possibly can.
Yeah. I mean, it is a back injury, which is like, you know, probably famously the hardest thing to like actually get right. So it's not shocking that he's going with unusual methods. But if I was a Rams fan, I'd be terrified.
Yeah, I would too.
Because typically you don't get more healthy when you start playing football. Typically you get more injured. Yeah. If your back is like hanging on by a thread at the start of the season, that gives me some pause.
It's a disc issue in his back. He's 37 years old. Backup quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. And one last NFL story. A quarterback competition has ended. The Browns named Joe Flacco their starting quarterback. I'm sure Browns fans are thrilled about this. Which is funny because they used to love Joe Flacco when Joe Flacco stepped in for an injured Deshaun Watson and helped lead the Browns to the playoffs and won comeback player of the year over someone who might have died in the middle of a field in DeMar Hamlin. That really happened. And then they didn't bring back Joe Flacco last year because they didn't want people to be mad at Deshaun Watson, who sucked so bad that eventually the Browns brought, I think, Joe Flacco back. Right? Because he was on the Colts for a second or something like that. And
I think they brought him back this offseason.
Oh, it was this offseason. You're right. You're right. Because he was on the Colts last year and stepping in for Anthony Richardson, who constantly was, you know, subbing himself out. And that's why they have Daniel Jones against Anthony Richardson right now. So, yep. Joe Flacco will be the Browns starting quarterback when the Browns take on the Bengals to open the season. He is 40 years old.
How many games do you think he starts for?
Four.
Okay.
Four.
I was gonna give him six, but four is also good.
They're going to fire their two-time defending, not their two-time defending, their two-time coach of the year. They're definitely going to do it. And it's because...
For stuff that's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
Same thing with the GM. Like, the GM, it's like mostly a good team, except for one horrific mistake, and then they made him draft two quarterbacks that he didn't want one of them.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. That is Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stay there.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros dropped 2 of 3 to the Orioles over the weekend. They got almost perfect gamed on Friday in a 7-0 loss. They lost yesterday 12-0 in a game that could have been 19-0. Thankfully, the Mariners also lost 2 of 3, so the American League West lead of 1.5 games remains the same. A comment on YouTube, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Pete Martinez says, can Joe Espada be DFA'd? Why do we always go to blaming Joe Espada for losing 2 out of 3, considering all the injuries the Astros have overcome? Like, what are you blaming Joe Espada for this weekend?
He didn't scheme up some hits against Brandon Young.
Yeah, what is he supposed to
call
be?
Call better plays.
Be a Kyle Shanahan out there? Call better plays? Right. Espada gets a lot of crap. I understood it in the first half of last season. I do not understand it anymore, especially with all the injuries that they have had to manage this year. I really don't. And I'd say the same thing about Dana Brown, too.
I think you can definitely ask some questions about ownership, but I think these guys have done the best they possibly can to this point this year. That doesn't make this weekend's series less embarrassing. It was embarrassing. That's a last place team, and they kicked your ass in two of the three games. And I mean, they almost beat you on Saturday. That game went 12 innings. Blown opportunity. And now these three games against the Tigers are slightly more must win than they were heading into this series.
I will say people also did this with Dusty. I think it's just a manager thing.
But, and AJ Hinch.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks their bullpen
AJ Hinch
sucks.
Was winning 105 games every year. Mm-hmm. And then if he ever screwed up anything, it was just like, what's this guy doing?
It is rather funny. And listen, the day-to-day grind of baseball tires me. It's my job, and it's a blessed job that I have. But I can understand how the average Astros fan is like, oh, it seems like we always lose to the bad teams, even though they are 40-20 against sub-500 teams this year. Oh, our bullpen sucks. Well, maybe now you got a case with Josh Hader possibly shelved for the rest of the year and Sean Dubin out there giving up 11 runs in his last three outings. But still, that's an overstatement as well. So I think sometimes there's a case of you have this disease called too close to it-itis, and you think, woe is me. I have it the worst. My life sucks. And it's like, hey, man, this team is unbelievably injured and still in first place some way, somehow. I think that is a testament to the good that we've seen this year more than we should be crying constantly about the occasional series loss. They had won three series in a row before that. And yeah, it's been a rough month plus, month and a half, but I'm not freaking out about it. I'm just, hey, you gotta take two or three against Detroit now, and that's going to be tough to do on the road against one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, it is something where I wonder if, is it because, like, we always talk about how regional baseball fandom is, where, like, you really only watch your team's baseball games?
Yeah, it's not even regional. It's legitimately, hey, once you get outside the city, do you know anything about the teams outside of town?
You might know, like, the good teams in your division. You know, you might, you know, you'll keep up with the Mariners and stuff or the Rangers when they're up there. But yeah, I is this like the symptom of, like, Texas fans can take a look around and be like, I know it seems bad, but, you know.
Yeah.
At least we're not these guys. At least we're not the Browns.
We're not the Browns. Someone, by the way, it was Ryan Lost in Texas asks, Paul, would you rather be tabbed to be the week one starter for the Browns or take a dump at a gas station that gives you the keys to their bathroom attached to a hubcap?
So would you rather break every bone in your body or get a horrible disease?
NFL game check. An NFL game check.
Are you getting paid?
If I just spike the ball every single play, they might bench me.
Let me know if you do that. I'll take your under.
Yeah, that's true.
Some unusual betting activity around.
That's true.
Around Shane Falk, I mean Paul Gallant starting for the...
Hey, that's more Paul Crew, I think.
Yeah,
Paul Crew from Longest Yard.
That is canonically correct.
Another comment here. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. This is just on the 409. We were talking about Matt Stafford. If I was a Rams fan, I'd be pretty nervous with my quarterback and tables, but I guess I am PT... I have PT Watts D. That's Jim Watson. Deshaun Watson joke. That was well done.
Yeah, it's creative.
Not cool, though, what he did to those people, okay? Don't make light of that. Don't. Keith has a thought on the NBA, the National Basketball Association, in case you don't know what that is. It's a league featuring 30 teams across the United States of America, Eastern Conference, Western Conference.
It's like the WNBA, except less dramatic.
More penis, right. Keith has a thought on the NBA. Keith, what's up?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on. NBA news over the weekend that kind of flew under the radar that I think is kind of insane to think about. So the Nets acquired Haywood Highsmith in a salary dump, essentially, from the Miami Heat. And if that name sounds familiar, when the Rockets were close to acquiring Kevin Durant, which they did, apparently the Heat were in the mix for Kevin Durant as well, as they always are with some of these big names, you know, James Harden in the past. Haywood Highsmith was a kicker in that deal that apparently – in multiple reports from multiple people said, the deal can't go through for KD if we have to include a Haywood Highsmith. And then a month later, he's a salary dump to Brooklyn where they have 15 guys who nobody knows who they are, and Highsmith is just gone. So, like, is it has Pat Riley lost his fastball? Like, what? How do they not throw Highsmith in there with Hodges, who's out of the rotation? You know, Rozier's got, you know, gambling issues and his big contract.
Allegedly.
What's going on here?
It's a great question. I mean, we're talking about Delaware Bluecoats legend.
Heywood Highsmith.
It's a real basketball team. Heywood Highsmith.
Yeah, he started on a – or maybe didn't start, but he played minutes on Eastern Conference Finals.
He did. He's – after – I mean, his entire career leading up to 2021 was playing with the Delaware Bluecoats of the G League and
– I thought that was the college.
No, that's the Blue Hens.
I thought that was the
Delaware Blue Coats is the Sixers G League team.
Okay.
It's a horse wearing a
coat.
Philadelphia 76ers colored bomber jacket with the state of Delaware in red on it. It's actually a cool logo.
Okay.
He also played for the Krailsheim Merlins. Currently referred to as the Hackro Merlins, Krailsheim, for sponsorship reasons. It's a basketball club based in Krailsheim, Germany.
Mm.
They play in the basketball Bundesliga, also known as the BBL.
I don't know why he was untouchable in a KD trade, but people, there's a lot of weird
heat culture, bro.
There's a lot of like
heat culture.
Untouchable in a KD trade for teams that didn't trade.
Yeah, that guy fought his way through the G League and in the now Bundesliga to play for the Heat.
Back, now he's back on the G League playing for the Brooklyn
Nets.
Right,
but listen, that iron sharpens iron in the G League, and he'll be back up there and, you know, spicing things up at practice. You know, they say those Heat practices and Heat culture, it's like
a boot camp. Yeah,
it's like a less P word version of the Dream Team, you know? A lot of people say that about the Heat.
Yeah, what if the Dream Team wasn't soft?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Miami Heat.
From the 713, Paul, the WNBA is catching up to the NBA lately. There's been a lot more penis-shaped devices in games. Well, that's true. I did say NBA, more penis than the WNBA.
Not that much more.
It's still a long way to go.
It's
you know?
Like most games, it's like, what, 10 to 1 as far as on
you,
the court.
You would need 30 per game to catch up to the amount in the NBA, because it's 15 per team. Yeah, that would be bad, in my opinion. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, and we're a very serious sports talk show here. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Are you scared of the Detroit Tigers? Tiger. Are you scared of them? Because the Astros are about to go into the Tiger's Den tonight. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at St. Arnold. You already know what I'm about to say about St. Arnold. They have a beer for everyone. My favorite, going back and forth between the Summer Pilsner and the Lawnmower. Lawnmower is available all year round. They've got a beer garden as a place for everyone. Fantastic place to hang out. Can't wait to be out there in a couple of weeks for our ESPN Houston listener party. And for private events, St. Arnold has a space for everyone. You can have your private event at St. Arnold. Weddings, family reunions, birthday bashes, happy hours, trade shows. Whether it's a group of 20 people or 300 people, they've got a space for everyone. All of these spaces, whether it's the beer hall for big groups or the investor's pub for small groups, have audiovisual capabilities, projectors, screens, and more importantly, really good food from the in-house catering menu from the St. Arnold chef and the freshest St. Arnold beer in all the world. Wine, cider, root beer as well. If you are looking to host an event in the next couple of weeks, next couple of months, St. Arnold has a space for you. Holidays, Halloween. You want to sign up quickly to get those prime dates for a daytime rental evening event, weekday or weekend. And if you mention ESPN or my name, Paul, you will get the brewery game package free when you sign up, which gets you dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, a pool table, and a photo booth. Get started at StArnold.com. Click on private events. That's StArnold.com. Click on private events. St. Arnold has a beer for everyone, a place for everyone, and now a space for everyone. One more time, StArnold.com, private events. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.